The scripture reading today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. It's about praying for God's power. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. The reading today is from John 15, verses 4 through 5. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he says, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
In many sports games, especially ball games such as soccer games, the most important objective is to score a goal to win the game. There is a tremendous difference between barely made a goal and almost made a goal. Of course, while barely is a goal, almost is not a goal. So, even one single goal can make a huge difference, win or lose, especially in the penalty shootout. This summer, I've been enjoying watching the FIFA World Cup games. At last week's quarterfinal games, there will be two semi-final games this week, France versus Spain and England versus Argentina. Yes, these will be mega and super fun games for me and for other 5 billion people, fans around the world. And third place playoff on Saturday. Then finally, the final match game will be next Sunday, July 19th. Scoring more goals than your opponent is the final outcome that determines your victory or not. No matter how well you play or how long you possess the ball, no matter whether you can dominate the game or how fantastic your game plans are, if you don't score the winning goal, the game would be over and you lose. It is generally known that life is a journey. This statement signifies and emphasizes one process, progress, and experience in life. It's a good perspective, of course. On the other hand, many people also consider life a sport game that determines winners and losers. In this sense, in order to have your life to be winning and successful, you must achieve more goals than any other teams or individuals in the competitions.
Yes, your goals are indeed your outcomes that will define your victory and success. Then, as the body of Christ, what would be our goal or outcome in our church life together? One simple and instant description might be bearing fruit. Without bearing fruit, honestly and bluntly speaking, our church or any church with all the missions and ministries will cease to exist sooner or later. Not bearing any fruit actually means that we have stopped pouring the oil, just as we shared this meaning, this phrase, last Sunday. Yes, we are called to keep pouring our oil. Your presence, your commitment, your service, your invitation, your participation, your love, and your hard work will determine everything we are called to do together. Therefore, bearing fruit is God's mandate for our congregation to pursue if we truly desire to grow and thrive while building the kingdom of God here and now. So my sermon series, Bearing Fruit, continues. As I had previously informed you, it is based on the book entitled Bearing Fruit, Ministry with Real Result, written by Lovett Weems Jr. and Tom Berlin. This morning's sermon title is Serving God's Vision. It's sermon number 6 out of 12. In the chapter 6, the two authors teach that fruitful leaders follow God's vision rather than making complex plans, allowing God to work through them. We have been exploring fruitful leadership and biblical mandate for fruitfulness. So based on this chapter, I'd like to share with you my 3-point insights. Number one, the vision of God is greater than your plan. Discerning God's vision is not an easy task. Fruitful leaders understand that if God showed them the exact difficulty of a journey from the start, they would never begin. You do not need to map out every detail. Instead, you must be willing to take the next faithful step in the direction God is calling you. The Bible clearly and boldly states, the human mind may devise many plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established. In terms of putting God's vision first, we can think of one special biblical character who became an awesome example of faith. His name is Abraham. The writer of the book of Hebrews proclaims, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. Going to some place while not knowing where to sounds like a bad plan for anyone. It's like you don't even know where you are heading towards. However, Abraham truly believed in and actively trusted God who was guiding him even into the unknown. He knew God's purpose is way better than his human knowledge, experience, or plan. So he completely relied on God's direction in his every step of the way. Prophet Isaiah also conveys God's words in this way: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." My friends in Christ, even though you might be super smart, amazingly organized, and have great discernment, you can never outsmart God. The Bible also proclaims, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path." Proverbs. Yes, God's vision is always greater than your plan. Number two, God-sized visions give God room to work. When leaders limit their goals to what they can achieve on their own, they miss out on miraculous growth. When you embrace a vision that requires God's help, you allow the Holy Spirit to work through your congregation or ministry to accomplish the impossible. This morning's scripture reading is from Ephesians, especially Apostle Paul's prayer for God's power, not only for the Ephesians, but also all disciples of Christ. Verse 21 here is the key verse. "Now to him who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly, far more than all we can ask or imagine." Moreover, Jesus always emphasized God's astonishing power and authority beyond our human understanding on salvation, miracles, or anything else on this earth. Jesus says in Mark, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." My sisters and brothers in Christ, let us remember that God-sized vision give God room to work. Number three, spiritual growth precedes fruitful ministry. All leaders must grow themselves to lead a growing ministry. To bear lasting fruit, you must focus on your personal spiritual development. By deepening your own faith, you become a healthy branch capable of producing good fruit. However, this spiritual growth is not happening overnight or randomly or suddenly or automatically. It requires consistent, constant, and everyday discipline, desire, and practice of dwelling in God's word. Therefore, every Christian, every disciple, every believer, either you are a leader or not, should never stop dwelling in the divine word. Jesus says in verse 4 from the Gospel of John, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Practically, Jesus underscores his point again by repeating the same message in the next verse, verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Dwelling in Christ and growing in Christ are extremely essential and priority before anything else, even your fruitful ministry. Fruitful leaders, especially in church context, must intentionally and sincerely engage in developing their spiritual growth rather than simply focusing on administration, maintenance, or other non-spiritual nature of a business. Of course, taking care of church buildings and finance and many other aspects of church life are critical and important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these are not necessary or not important. My point is that we are called to bear fruit, especially spiritual fruit, in many abundant ways, including inviting and welcoming more new members. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he addresses, "We have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And he continues in the next verse, verse 10, "so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God." Yes, spiritual growth always precedes fruitful ministry or any ministry because we are mandated to serve God's vision that will lead us to faithfulness, fruitfulness. From the book Bearing Fruit, Ministry with Real Result, especially in chapter 6, I found the last paragraph to be a good summary and conclusion. Quote, "In the process of our working to accomplish great things with God, the Holy Spirit has a way of teaching us the most important lessons of our faith. We learn that God loves us and God is faithful. We learn that God longs for us to join in the work of advancing God's reign so that Christ will be exalted, the good news will be preached to the poor, and people looking for significance will be able to tell stories to their grandchildren about the signs and wonders that God did in their midst," unquote. As I conclude my sermon, let me share with you a story. It's a classic parable of the three bricklayers. I'm sure probably many of you have already heard this story before. A passerby watched three stonemasons working and sweating in the hot sun. He asked first, "What are you doing?" The man replied, "As you can see, I am laying bricks." He asked a second, "And what are you doing?" The man replied, "I am just building a wall. You know, I am just earning a living with this job." Finally, he asked a third, "What are you doing?" The man looked up proudly and said, "I am building a great and beautiful sanctuary for my Almighty God." What does this parable teach us about? You have the same task, but with different perspectives. Every person in our church serves. Your daily task, weekly task, whatever it is, are not just chores, hassles, or burdens with stress. They are, after all, vital parts of God's master plan, and you are a precious part of God's vision that will give us a lasting impact. So my final question would be, are you just laying bricks to get by? Or do you see the beautiful sanctuary God is building? I hope and pray that we can serve God's vision together. And my sermon series is to be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.